Well, lots happening as far as the town of Hempstead is concerned, and it's the first now of three spotlight segments on Long Island. Brandon Muir, of course, Reclaim New York. That's right, Reclaim New York Initiative wants to help you take back control of your government. Join the fight to reclaim New York today at ReclaimNYNow.org. Brandon, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Well, I tell you, we spoke with Doug Kellogg yesterday regarding what would to be a big meeting yesterday. And, you know, I was somewhat shocked of this vote here, but, boy, I tell you, what's happening in Hempstead is just not to be believed.
Well, it's legalized corruption. When you're able to point and say, I think this is going to happen tomorrow, it's going to be terrible, and yet it still happens, you really got to wonder what laws are in place. I mean, what we see the town of Hempstead has done in this case, 192 individuals that are moved and able to now stay in these jobs, despite the fact you've got a new supervisor coming in that voters spoke very clearly. They did not want the current supervisor to stick around. And he essentially now gets to have 192 of his best pals in these jobs. It just doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. And Laura Gillen, who is the supervisor-elect there, she vowed to undo the measures when she takes office next month, Brandon. Does she have a leg to stand on with that?
Well, I think she's been very clear from the start, not only during her election run, but post-election, that transparency is something that she's going to embrace. And when you look into the moves that happened, this was the supervisor, let's be very clear, but it was also council members who decided to support this move. I mean, you've got the town spokesman making $205,000. Now, if you're good enough at your job to make $205,000 a year, that's great. But how rare is it that you could be picked up and put in a completely different job and still be worth $205,000? And that's what happened. The town spokesman, Mr. Deary, will be doing that.
That's a heck of a Christmas present. Heck of a Christmas present.
It's incredible.
you know, and
that's really where the new town supervisor is going to come in. And I think, as she said, look one by one and decide which one of these deserve the pay raise or deserve the new title. But you can't do this at the 11th hour before you're running out and leaving the party.
No, you can't. It's disgraceful. And, you know, Anthony Santino, I asked him that. We tried to get a hold of him yesterday. He's not going to come on. But it's our duty to try and get his take on things. You know, I don't know how he looks himself in the mirror when he leaves office here. I mean, you know, 200 personnel changes nearly. It was a five-hour meeting approving this legislation. You know, the Inspector General, compliance officer, mass mailing restrictions, unions, collective bargaining agreement. I mean, all on the table yesterday. And you're right, Deary's salary, $205K as the confidential assistant to the receiver of taxes. Give me a break. You know, with all that Santino has done, he has done nothing. Nothing to cement a positive nature as his legacy leaving this office. I'll tell you that much. Taxes are going to go through the roof there now. And kudos to Blakeman and Aaron King Sweeney. By the way, we all remember that little inner circle fight between Aaron King Sweeney, daughter of Peter King, and Tony Santino. That was disgraceful as it was. I mean, showing a lack of respect for the congressman as well as his daughter. Let's not forget that in a big way, Brandon.
Well, you're right. I mean, we can go back a couple months, and we were square in the middle of that fight. That was a 10-hour board meeting. That made your 5-hour board meeting look like a breeze. That board meeting, the council and the town supervisor decided to not release the names of the Board of Ethics members. I mean, talk about a slap in the face to transparency. That's about as bad as it can get. But I think he did one worse. $4 million worth of raises were approved yesterday. And that doesn't even count the legacy cost.
Yeah.
Because now you've locked in employees. You've really strapped the hands of the new supervisor. But frankly, I'm optimistic because for the first time in a while, we've seen someone not only embrace transparency, but really talk about sort of the fiscal nature of what's got to happen and what's got to get in order. And, you know, fortunately, there are citizens who are involved now. The one takeaway from this is that ultimately this belongs to the citizens. They're the ones that are going to have to speak up. They've got to go to the town board meeting. It was packed yesterday. We've got to see more of that.
No question about it. Brandon Muir, Reclaim New York, talking about what happened to the town of Hempstead. You know, the board also voting unanimously to promote, what, about 30 part-time workers, a full-time status, all part of the previous legal settlement, I guess. The board members additionally voted 5-2 to grant appointments, promotions, transfers, and raises to 161 other employees. You know what really bothers me in all this? That would include the brother of Councilman Anthony Desposito. I mean, come on. What's going on here with the nepotism, cronyism, and everything else? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is as an egregious situation of corruption as could be. I got to tell you, it's you want to call it legalized corruption? Go ahead, but it's corruption.
That's right, and it really is, again, up to the citizens to hold people accountable. You know, this tie-in to people going from the supervisor's office into the town attorney's office and the brothers and this and that. We can't trust the inmates to police themselves. And I hate to say that, because public service, these people are supposed to be there appealing to our higher virtues and values. That is not happening right now in Hempstead. And you see this with a 5-2 vote. There are people on that council who understand the difference and who stood up yesterday. The citizens need to support them, and the citizens need to speak out when we see stuff like this going back and forth.
No doubt. You know, speaking of Councilman Desposito, he actually recused himself from voting on his brother's promotion. Mighty big of him, I might say. And, of course, raising a lot of concern. He came under fire. If everybody remembers Anthony Desposito, he came under fire back in March for voting in favor of a raise for his mother, a secretary, by the way, in the highway department. Let's not forget that. So, you know, he recused himself, but that doesn't mean what happened yesterday with his brother being involved here, you know what, it doesn't wash.
Well, and this aligns directly with this idea of the political machine. And the voters said very clearly, we are not in favor of this current political machine. So what does the machine do on the last day? The machine tries to protect itself. And this, again, is why, you know, you've got this massive slap in the face to taxpayers, $4 million, 192 positions, but people should be held accountable for this. This was their vote. It was taken publicly. And despite having the ability to say, you know what, we're going to put this on hold for about 15 to 20 days. We've got a new supervisor who's going to come in. Let's make those decisions. Then they decided to protect their friends. Mm. And that's what the voters knew, I think, in November. And I hope that's what they remember when they wake up in January. No longer can government be about protecting your friends. A $205,000 salary for a confidential assistant?
Yeah.
This guy better be keeping some pretty great secrets at that rate.
I would think. And you know what really bothers me yesterday? The board. I know the board approved 4-3 on the changes to the union's collective bargaining agreement so that really no town union employee can be terminated for budgetary reasons, only for incompetence or, I guess, misconduct. But obviously, you know, it was set up that way so these folks can kind of get to other jobs. And, of course, Laura Gillen previously vowed to file a lawsuit if the changes were passed. You wonder, I'm just wondering if she has a case here as well as far as some sort of a suit in a legal sense. What's your take on this last one?
Well, the suit that she's talked about has been around, the discussion's been around for some time, not just in the town of Hempstead. But what you've effectively done is you've locked in certain costs, and therefore you've forced raises of taxes to reach, you know, to pay for those costs. When you're looking at a lawsuit, they've got a contract in place with the CSEA that I have not read, but I wager to guess they have and protects these members. But ultimately, we have to be asking, why would we sign a document that simply is created to protect the members as opposed to the taxpayers? The government is not run to hire people. The government run is run to serve people. And so when you look at a contract like this, it runs straight in the face of that. So as long as the town of Hempstead citizens are okay with constant tax raises to meet these demands, then great. But I think what Laura has said very clearly is that that's not the case, that she's going to look at that. I'm optimistic that lawsuits like this will allow more flexibility for the towns and for the counties to actually negotiate, because contracts like that tie their hands for not only the current budget cycle, but for years to come. And it gets really hard to budget. Ultimately, it forces you to raise taxes.
No question about it. We are talking with Brandon Muir, Reclaim New York, talking about the disgrace that has certainly happened in the town of Hempstead. Brandon, a couple of minutes left. I want to shift a little bit towards what's going on with the governor. You guys have been very vocal about the goings-on of Andrew Cuomo. And, you know, I'm just wondering at this point in time what this man is afraid of. You know, there's been a lot of questions, a lot of embarrassments going on within that people are really not talking about. You know, I'm talking about the FBI probe of his hiring practices. We know that's happening. You have the upcoming corruption trial, one of his right-hand guys. And you also have the recent firing of a top official for sexual harassment. He has never held, I do not believe, you tell me if I'm wrong, I don't believe Cuomo's held a formal sit-down with anybody of the press who regularly covers him since, what, I think you're going back a couple of months now. I don't know what's going on. But now he's come up with something new. He only takes press questions, Brandon Muir, in conference calls. And with his aides choosing who gets to pose a query as well, I find that to be a very weak move. Let's put it that way. I'm trying to be nice here. I find it to be a weak move, and really only picking reporters who agree on the topic in advance. You know, that's like us here at LA News Radio when people ask us, well, what kind of questions are you going to ask, you know, whoever? And I don't provide that because that's not the way it's done. You know, and this really bothers me as far as what's going on in Albany here.
When you sign up for public service, when you run, when you raise money, you spend time and you dedicate your life in this case, you make an agreement with the citizens that you will serve, but you will answer questions, you will learn about their issues, you will try to legislate and govern in a just way, right? The higher ideals argument. What we're seeing out of the likes of Supervisor Santino, of the governor in this case, is the exact opposite. The governor, as you said, is not taking questions face-to-face. This came out last week. He actually came out as well that they are planting questions with reporters. But more than all of that, you have the same thing in the town of Hempstead that you have right now in Albany. The bridge. We have to jump to the Tappan Zee Bridge renaming. This was a bill that was passed in the dead of night in a special session without public debate and before we've told the taxpayers how we're going to pay for it. And lo and behold, some Hudson Valley residents got very angry that the Governor Malcolm Wilson Tappan Zee Bridge is now going to become the Governor Mario Cuomo Bridge.
Yeah, he'll talk about
it's
that. That's for sure.
It's a procedural thing. Well, and it's nuts because this is the small stuff that turns big because it's a procedural breakdown. You know, Supervisor Santino voting in one of the last days that he's in office to do all of this, it just rubs people the wrong way. When you pass bills in the dark of the night, it pisses people off. And so what we're seeing out of Albany is nothing new. We've seen it now for some months, if not years, from the governor. But I think what you're touching on is sort of the brazenness of just how much the elected officials are ignoring the frustrations and the will of the people. They're not even taking questions, right? That is the most basic way they can reconnect. They won't even do that.
You know, what's the next thing? What are we going to hear next? One of his own staff members interview him? I mean, come on. You know, I remember in his campaign 7 years ago, this is a guy who vowed to make the state government the most transparent and accountable in history. And he has completely lied about that.
Well, there's a bill on his desk right now, which would give him the opportunity to move closer to that. He has completely lied about that. But the current bill for the Freedom of Information Law would say that if the government denies your public records request, and it's unreasonable denial, then the government has to pay your attorney fees. Because what's happening right now is citizens are making public requests for basic records. Governments are across the state are ignoring them, knowing that you're not really going to take me to court. You're not going to spend $4,000 to sue me. And so what they do is they just ignore them and they get away with it. This law would force them to repay those legal fees. The far, far left, the far, far right, the centrist, everyone across the board supports this bill. All of the journalists have supported this, and yet it's been 6 months now. We have seen no action from the governor. The days are dwindling. He's only got about 5 days left to sign this thing. I remain sadly unoptimistic, but we'll see.
Tell you one thing, we talk with our three assembly guys out here in the East End, Thiel, Palumbo and Murray, and I don't sense a lot of confidence as far as when session kicks up. I got to tell you something. Sure makes you think the governor has something to hide here. Very disappointing. I think the only way I can get a question to him is if I see him in his favorite restaurant, Rumba's, out in the Hamptons. It seems the only way I might get a word in. Brandon, a pleasure. Folks, Reclaim New York. They are the real deal, thank goodness. A voice like no other, of course, Reclaim. The initiative wants to help you take back control of your government. What we're talking here, join the fight to reclaim New York today. Just go to ReclaimNYNow.org. Always a pleasure, sir. If I don't talk to you, have a great holiday, all right?
You as well. Look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Same here, pal. Thanks again.